Today, November 20th, 2016, is the 42nd birthday of Giovanni Reed, our featured juvenile lifer. He has spent his entire adult life in prison. In this episode, we're going to hear a conversation I had with his older sister last week, in which she gives us a pretty good picture of what kind of boy Giovanni was growing up. If you're not already listening to our ongoing series examining what really happened in the early hours of August 10th, 1991, this portrait of a young boy should make you curious as to how on earth he ended up where he's been for the past 25 years.
This is Juvie, a podcast that explores cases, legislation, experiences, and ramifications of children and youth in juvenile and adult criminal justice systems.
I remember being in the Northeast, and it was a bad snowstorm, and I was really sick, and I didn't have too much food in the house, but I had the money, but I just couldn't go over to the market. And he came on the bus in the subway all the way to where I lived at and went shopping for me. And he was about 14. I'm Teresa Reed, and I'm Giovanni's sister. Only one he has, one sister. There's 5 boys and 1 girl. I had to count it. And I'm in the middle. I'm actually 14 years older than him.
Oh, wow. 14 years.
Yeah. I have 2 daughters and a son, and they each have 1 child apiece.
So Giovanni's got several nieces, nephews, and great nieces and nephews, it sounds like.
It's a bunch of us. We come from a 2-parent home. Most of the families in our area did have 2 parents. So, and we grew up in a pretty nice area. Yeah, South Philadelphia. We grew up in a nice section down there. None of my brothers have never even been inside of a prison until Giovanni was locked up. You know, we just didn't grow up like that. My brothers wasn't raised like that. They never robbed nobody, stole. They weren't street guys that just hung on a corner, sold drugs or nothing. You know, we didn't come from that kind of background.
So your older brothers were never involved with the police at all either?
Never. My mom was really like the best, you know. The best mom ever.
Melvina.
Yeah, she was a sweetheart. By me being a lot older than Giovanni, I remember my mom coming home with him. We didn't even know she was pregnant.
Oh, no?
No, we didn't know. She came home. First, she had my brother, which is Emiliano. He's a year older than Giovanni. She came home with him one day. And we was like, well, where did this baby come from? That was Emiliano. And then the next year, she came home with another one. We just thought she was going to work because she worked at night as a nurse. You know, I helped her out a lot when they were little. I would tend to them while she worked at night. Then I left home for a while.
How old was Giovanni when you left the home?
Oh, wow. He had to be about about 4.
So you lived with Giovanni in the same home with your parents till he was about 4?
Yeah, till about 4.
So you left home when you were about 18 then?
Yes, yes. I had my own place, but we stayed close. I think I really came back when he was maybe about 6. They had moved from the home that we grew up in, me and my older brothers. And when I came back, he was about 6 years old. And I was pregnant with my oldest daughter, whose name is Robin. She's 34 now. Giovanni, he would watch her for me. He would play with her all the time. I have 2 other children, which are Todd is my son. He's 27. Giovanni knows him. And I have a daughter, Kiana, which is, she's 23. And he just met her this year for the first time.
He just met Kiana?
Yeah, his niece.
How come he'd never met her before?
Well, she had to get on his list. He had sent for her paperwork for her to be on his list when she was younger. Mm-hmm. But I just never took her up there until she became an adult.
What was he like when he was a very small child?
He was a good little kid. He was just nice, a nice baby. You know, he didn't make a lot of fuss or anything.
Was he a loud child or a quiet child?
He was quiet. He was pretty quiet. Emiliano was the one that was the loud one.
Oh, really? He and Emiliano were pretty close from what your dad said to me.
Yeah, they were pretty close.
So we had the one loud brother and the one quiet brother complimenting each other pretty well then.
Yes.
What about when he was six? You say you came back into the home when he was six?
Well, I would come and visit them and things like that. But when he was about six, I started spending more time at my mom's with them. And, you know, I would take them places, do little things with them, with Giovanni and Emiliano. You know, I was pregnant during that time with my oldest daughter. I remember it was so funny because in my last months of having her, I came to stay with my mother. And my water broke. And Giovanni was like, "Oh, she's peeing on the floor."
And he was what, six?
Yeah, he was about six, between six and seven. So, you know, they kind of like told on me, told my mom, "Well, she's peeing upstairs on the floor." And we laughed about it. And my mom wound up sending him and my other brother, Emiliano. They were on their way to school. I was on my way to the hospital, me and my mom. And they never went to school. They played hooky.
Oh, because they took advantage of the fact that mom and big sis were out of the house.
Yes. And it was so funny because they went to the corner. It was a corner store around the corner from the school. And they went in there and played video games.
All day instead of going to school?
Well, no, not all day because they got caught by the neighbor down the street. And she brought him home.
And how long were you out of the house? I mean, how long did the baby take to come?
It didn't take long. I think I got to the hospital maybe about 11. I was done by 12:30.
Did you come home later that day?
No, I came back to my mom's like 2 days later. And I stayed there maybe for about a month. Maybe a month or two before I went back home to my own place.
How was Giovanni with the baby?
Oh, he loved her. He loved her. He spent all his time with her. Couldn't wait till he got home from school to get her. Yeah. Her name is Robin. Yeah, that's his favorite niece. Yeah, they're close because she's 34. And is he 40? I think he's 41.
Yeah, I think he's going to be 42 next week, actually.
Yeah, going to be 42 on Sunday. I'm going to go visit him.
That's right. I think it's, is it the 20th?
Yes, the 20th.
Your dad told me a funny story about Giovanni and Emiliano when they were probably around 10 or 11. Something about being asked to deliver some leaflets or something in the neighborhood. I can't remember the exact context. They were supposed to be delivering some leaflets, maybe for a family business.
Yes.
Very good friend of mine. He drives me up there sometime, right? But he won't go into prison with me. He says, "I just can't stand to see your son locked up like that." So he waits outside. But he knows him, though. He knows him. He had a business. He had a luncheonette, and he used to give Jerry and Emiliano flyers to go around the neighborhood, right? And what they would do, they'd throw it in the sewer and tell them that they delivered the flyers. Jerry and Emiliano, my son. Oh, they were young kids, 10 and 11 years old, right? They were young.
the most of the time when I saw Giovanni was on the weekends because I would come down to South Philly. I was living in the Northeast, and I would come to South Philly on the weekends and stay the weekends with them.
So do you remember Giovanni and Emiliano being particularly mischievous? Did they get up to little tricks?
No, not Giovanni. Emiliano, yeah. But not really Giovanni.
Your dad described him as a boy as being, like you're saying, very quiet, a very easygoing child, not causing any problems at all. He was very conscientious in school. Just a kid who just wasn't a problem at all, a very easy, mellow kind of kid.
No, never. He never caused problems.
So how was he when he was in his, say, early to mid-teens, you know, sort of like from 12, 13 on?
12, 13. During that time, well, I've always been more closer to him and Emiliano than I am to the ones that I grew up with. For some reason, I don't know why.
Who's the next kid above Emiliano?
His name is Charlie. He's a lot older because he's, I'm 54, so he's 52. I have two brothers older than me. We're all 2 years apart, except for Emiliano and Giovanni.
There were four kids who were born fairly close together, and then a big gap of about 12 years. And then Emiliano and Giovanni came along as the sort of second family, if you like.
Yes, yes.
So Giovanni was the baby of the family.
Yes, he was the baby. He was the baby. And he would come stay with me sometimes on the weekends in the Northeast. During that time, I think I was working for SEPTA for their claim office. So like every Friday when I got paid, I would come get them. Or he would meet and catch the bus and meet me in Center City.
And how old was he?
About 14. Yeah, 13, but anywhere between 13 and 14.
Would he spend the whole weekend with you?
Yeah, he would spend the whole weekend with me. And Emiliano was more so hanging out with his friends and doing other stuff. He didn't have time. The kind of time that me and Giovanni spent together in his younger years, Emiliano didn't have that kind of time. When they were younger, smaller, Emiliano always was with me. I took him everywhere, and I didn't take Giovanni. Giovanni was about, I guess he was one, but I never took him with me. I always took Emiliano everywhere I went. It was just me and him. But then as they got older, it was always me and Giovanni. Until maybe, I guess, at the age of 16. I guess Emiliano might have been 16, so Giovanni had to be about 15. I had my son, his name is Todd, and Giovanni will help me with him. Matter of fact, he put his first bike together for me.
Giovanni put Ty's first bike together?
Yes, he did.
And how old was Ty in relation to Robin?
He's 7 years younger. So actually, when Giovanni went to prison, Todd was two. He was 2 years old. Matter of fact, he didn't even turn two yet. He was about to turn two.
From the age of about 13, 14, Giovanni was coming to you regularly at weekends. What started that? Is that because you two had a particular bond, or was it partly practical because he had such an affinity with your small children? What kind of triggered that little routine that you had?
Well, we used to, I used to take him shopping and you know, do little things for him, buy him sneakers. Every week I brought him something.
What kind of things did he like?
Like I would buy him sneakers, or if he wanted an outfit, or just give him a few dollars or whatever, because he was always there to help me out.
With the kids?
Yeah, with the kids or with anything for me. I remember being in the Northeast, and it was a bad snowstorm, and I was really sick, and I didn't have too much food in the house. But I had the money, but I just couldn't go over to the market. The market was like across the street from me in a shopping center. And he came on the bus and the subway all the way to where I lived at. and went shopping for me. And he was about 14. He went grocery shopping for me. It was like really right across the street from where I lived at. Mm-hmm. But it was inside of like a shopping plaza.
So he really liked helping you with chores and hanging out with the kids.
Yeah.
When he was 15, 16, let's say the last year he was free, your youngest son, Ty, was in his first 2 years of life. And your older daughter, Robin, would have been 7 or 8. Is that right?
Yeah, about 7 or 8. Cool. Like if I wanted to go out during the weekend sometime, you know, and stuff like that, he would come babysit for me and stuff like that.
Were you a single parent? Were you on your own?
Yeah, I was. I'm not going to actually say I was really single because I did have help from the fathers.
But you were self-supporting?
Yeah. Yeah, I was living on my own. And then when he was 15, I moved back to South Philadelphia. So I had an apartment on 15th and Tasker, and my mom's house was on 19th and Dickinson. He practically lived there with me. You know, if he wasn't home, he was at my house. He had keys, his own keys to my house. And Emiliano lived with me. He lived in an apartment with me, but Giovanni had his own keys. So it was like he lived there too.
How much did Giovanni go out with other boys at that time? I mean, what was his social life like?
During that time, well, he hung out with a lot of girls. He was a ladies' man.
Oh, yeah?
Did have the few friends, Tyrone Mackey, Wani, and Richard King. You know, they were friends with him, and they would come. They would all come to my house and hang out, watch TV, listen to music, watch videos. They basically came around and did what they wanted to do because they were like good guys. They wasn't doing nothing, you know, wrong. So I allowed them to come to my house, eat, sit there, play the game, do whatever. I never had a problem with any of them.
Those three friends of his were good kids, basically.
Yeah, they weren't bad guys. No, they weren't bad guys. I've never known them to, like, be bad.
Now, these three boys that you just mentioned, Tyrone, Wani, and Richard.
Yes.
These are the three boys that in the podcast series on Giovanni we're calling the Bainbridge Boys. For anyone who hasn't heard the episode about the Bainbridge Boys, we call them the Bainbridge Boys because they were there the night the crime occurred for which Giovanni was eventually arrested and convicted. When the shooting happened, they were at the junction with South 17th Street and Bainbridge Street.
Yes.
And that's pretty indisputable, which we'll go into more in later episodes. But there is already an episode out where they are referred to as the Bainbridge Boys, and they were the three boys of the six who were not arrested and convicted for the shooting.
Yes.
So you can vouch for these three boys being all good boys who were very close friends with Giovanni up until August 10th, 1991.
Yes, yes.
They were quite different in ages, weren't they? Wani was a year older than Giovanni, I think.
Yeah, they were all older than him.
Tyrone was about 3 or 4 years older than Giovanni, wasn't he?
Tyrone was at least 20. But during this time, I didn't even know. I knew Tyrone was a little older, but I didn't know that he was as old as he was.
Now, unfortunately, Tyrone is no longer with us, and nor is Rich.
Yeah, nor is Rich. The last time I seen Wani was at the hearing in 93, the preliminary hearing during a trial.
Because he testified.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That night, they were at my house, and they came to get Giovanni, and they said they were going to IHOP. I gave him money to go with them.
Were you still at home when the boys arrived?
Yes.
Which boys arrived?
It was Tyrone, it was Dewan, which is Wani, and it was Richard.
So the Bainbridge boys showed up.
Yes. The Bainbridge Boys.
The Bainbridge Boys came to take Giovanni out to IHOP, and you gave him permission and said, yeah, that's fine, and you gave him some money to go out with them.
Yes, I did. Tyrone, he wound up telling me, he said they were on their way back, and they ran into Dwayne and Carlton, which are cousins of Giovanni's. And they stopped and talked to him. I think I'm not sure, but I think they ran into them in Rittenhouse Park. And then they wound up walking together.
Dwayne was the shooter in the crime, which you can hear about in Episode 5, for which Giovanni and Carlton were also convicted.
Giovanni never, ever hung out with Dwayne. He didn't hang out with Carlton either. He knew Carlton and he knew Dwayne because they were Ronnie's cousin, but he never hung with them. I knew them too as kids. I'm not going to say they were really bad kids. Carlton, he wasn't a bad kid. Wayne wasn't a bad kid either, but he was easily misled. You can tell him to do something and he would, you know, he would do it. He didn't have like a mind of his own. He could be coerced to do just about anything.
Tell me a bit about Giovanni, how he's developed in the last 25 years. How was he at the beginning? How has he been? Has he gone through different phases, the way he's handled it? How has he basically survived these last 25 years?
I go see him a lot, but I've never asked him that. But when he first got arrested, I didn't believe he would be able to survive. I don't know how he even survived all of this time.
What made you think that?
Because of the type of kid he was, never in trouble, never been to jail. He didn't like have any clue what prison life was about. And, you know, he was just a small kid. I didn't think he was going to make it in there at all.
So he wasn't a tough, rough kid who kind of postured around?
No, I don't even remember him really having, like, no fights. Maybe one or two, but nothing serious. Mm-hmm. It was just, to me, it was, wow, my little brother's going to be in prison. Like, that's not a good place for him. I don't know how he's going to adapt to it or even deal with it. When I go see him on Sunday, I'm going to ask him. Because I never thought about even asking him, you know, how he made it all of these years with not getting in any trouble, not even having like a write-up, being a model prisoner.
Did you see him a lot in the year and a half between his arrest and his conviction? Because the trial was a year and a half after the event.
Before he even got into this situation, I saw him every day because he came to my house every day after school. Then once he got in there, I would go see him. And he didn't seem like he was scared or, you know, nervous or couldn't adjust to it. He just seemed regular, like, I'm going to just have to handle the situation the best way I can and try to get myself out of it.
Do you think he thought he was going to be convicted?
No. He never thought that. None of us never thought that.
How long after he was convicted did you see him?
Maybe about a week later. Yeah, maybe about a week later, because I was in the courtroom when he was convicted. That day was my grandmother's funeral. Oh. So my mom was at the funeral. I don't even remember, like, who was in court. I think my dad was there, and I think, like, a couple of his friends or something, my dad's friends was there. But I was pregnant. I was 8 months pregnant with my youngest daughter. And I was in court. I didn't go to my grandmother's funeral. I went to court to be with him.
So your mom wasn't there when they announced the verdict?
No.
She was at her own mother's funeral?
Yes.
Ugh, I just can't even fathom that. When did she find out?
She found out when we got back to either, I'm not sure if she found out when we got back to her mom's or if my dad might have called her or something.
In one day, you bury your mother and your youngest son is sent to prison for life?
Yes. Oh. It made me sick. I had to leave out the courtroom. I remember being in the ladies' room. And I almost passed out in there.
I'm not surprised.
And I didn't get a chance to say anything to him. They just took him away.
With Carlton?
With Carlton.
Now, when you saw him, you say you saw him about a week later. Under what circumstances did you see him and how was
I went
he?
To prison to visit him.
Mm-hmm. Was he in Greaterford right from the get-go?
During that time, he was at Greaterford.
So he's always been in Greaterford. He's never been anywhere else.
No. When he went from the Youth Study Center, and then when he turned 18, they sent him to Holmesburg Prison on his 18th birthday because I went there to see him like that Thanksgiving, which was a few days away. And I went to visit him at Holmesburg Prison one time. And I think he might have stayed there for maybe a week before they sent him to Greaterford.
And how was he that very first meeting after his conviction?
He was sad. Yeah, he was sad. He didn't want to be there.
Do you think he had really taken on board what the implications were? Do you think he was still perhaps in shock?
Yeah, I believe he was in shock and, you know, just couldn't believe that this was happening to him.
Those two photographs, those mugshots for the last episode,
yeah,
black and white mugshots, they are the immediate post-conviction mugshots. So they were taken the same day or within days of his conviction. And I remarked on it in the last episode. There's something about his face in those photographs, which I find really disturbing. It's very different from all the other photographs I've seen of him, even photographs that he's had taken over the years in prison, you know, where he usually has a smile and...
Yeah.
And, you know, he's obviously adapted and made what he can of the life that's been given to him.
Yeah.
Even the solemn photo, there's one solemn photo of him that's a sort of mugshot that's quite recent from earlier this year, I think, which is, you know, it's solemn, it's not smiling, but it's just, okay, I'm here for my mugshot, whatever, get on with it kind of deal. But that one from his post-conviction is very disturbing because you can tell that he's just... It's like he's holding in this huge rage. He doesn't know what to do with it. He doesn't understand what the hell has happened to him.
Yeah.
And his eyes, as I said, his eyes are just very subtly narrowed. It's almost like he's saying, what the hell is going on? Explain this to me. What the hell is going on?
I've never seen that photograph until you posted it.
You hadn't either, because I only just got them just before I used them, and those two mugshots really struck me as very different.
I've never seen him look like that.
Didn't you find them disturbing too?
Yes, very disturbing.
Mm. Because you can see, knowing his story, you can see what's going on in that face, inside him. And it's scary. It's really scary. It's very, very sad.
The look is like that he just can't believe that his friends did this to him.
Teresa is referring to the fact that the Bainbridge boys, Tyrone, Rich and Wani, testified against Giovanni and Carlton during the trial. But as we'll hear in upcoming episodes, their testimony was extremely compromised.
He's never had anger or nothing like that. He's always been calm. And just peaceful, always. Hmm. I've never seen him get angry or anything, never.
What he was doing the night that this all happened, which isn't a reflection of the kind of guy he was babysitting for his big sister. It's so sad that he was taken out of that caring, responsible role and dragged into the most horrendous situation.
Yeah, he was the only one that did that for me. Yeah, nobody, they didn't watch my kids and stuff, but he would. I would have never thought that nothing like this would ever happen to him. And, I mean, my life hasn't been the same since this happened. The first 7 years was really hard for me. I didn't go see him the way that I go see him now. It took a long time to go see him on a regular. Like, I would go see him once in a while because when I got there, it was just, it would tear me up when it's time for me to leave.
Your daughter, she was Robin, right? She was what, 7 when this happened?
Yeah, she was 7.
So she was used to Uncle coming over regularly every weekend, spending the weekend with you guys. How did that impact her? Did she understand what was happening?
No, she didn't really understand what was happening until she got older.
How did you explain it to her at the time?
During that time, every day, they called him Uncle Jerry.
I'm trying to think, the 7-year-old girl's Uncle Jerry comes over every weekend. He hangs out. He babysits. He plays with her. He's Uncle Jerry. He's around every weekend.
I know her main, what she does talk about it sometime, her main memory, they used to watch wrestling all the time. And he would pick her up and he'd throw her on a bed and with the wrestling moves and stuff. And she would say, oh, do it again, do it again, do it again, do it again.
Aww.
You know, that's like her main memory.
Yeah, that's nice. I like that.
I think she did go up there one time to see him when she was probably like 18 because she had a Jersey license, so it wasn't no need for her to be on the list. But she hasn't seen him in years. She only see like pictures because every time I go, we take pictures and I bring them home and I leave one with him.
Giovanni is hoping to be released soon as a result of the United States Supreme Court Montgomery versus Louisiana ruling. Who knows where he'll be celebrating his 43rd birthday?
Oh, yeah. He had big plans. Big plans when he come home. I can't wait to see him on Sunday.
Yeah, well, tell him happy birthday from me. He's going to be, what, 42, right?
42, yep.
You've been listening to Juvie, conceived, written, and produced by Zoe Badafinic. Join us next time on Juvie.